Okay, y'all, I got a question for you. What's on your plate? I don't mean the end of year to-do list, holiday traveling, or the new gym registration. I mean literally on January 1st, what's on your plate? As we bid farewell to the old and embrace the new, we're talking about something that transcends cultures and borders, the iconic New Year's Day meal. From lentils to collard greens and cornbread, each bite of this special meal signifies centuries-old customs and wishes for prosperity. It's a superstitious tradition that goes beyond nourishment. I'm Dominique Clark, and on this episode of Did Y'all Hear, we're filling our plates with the help of a few local experts from the Cabarrus Cooperative Extension team. We'll prepare a traditional Southern New Year's meal with all the fixings and discuss the history, culture, and importance of making a nourishing start to the new year. Come join us at the table. That gym visit can wait till after the cornbread. Have some newcomers to the podcast, so I'd love for you all to introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Tracy LeCompte. I'm the County Extension Director here in Cabarrus County.
Hello, I'm Pam Uten, Family and Consumer Science Extension Agent here in Cabarrus County, and have also the privilege and pleasure of working with our Community and Extension Association, our ECA.
Hello, I'm Peyton Berry, the Horticulture Extension Agent, and I have the wonderful pleasure of working with our Master Gardener program.
I'm super excited about this conversation because we're talking about New Year's meal, like our traditional meal. And before we get into the history and all that and taste some of the good food that Pam has prepared for us, and you too, Tracy, I would love to talk about what our own traditions are. If you all have any traditions around New Year's Day and what meals you all are having with your families.
So I was raised in a German family. And so our traditions are more about sausage and sauerkraut. And so on New Year's, that's what we always did, which makes me not want to do that now as an adult. And so I have fully embraced my Southern new roots, and we do our Southern traditional New Year's Day, but we also add crab legs. I don't know.
Crab legs are great.
Add crab legs to them because it's just a New Year's tradition now. It was friends of ours when we first moved here told us that that's what they did on New Year's Day together as a couple. And so they invited us over for our first New Year's when we spent that first New Year's here in Carolinas. And we have had it ever since. So we've made our own new tradition, and we enjoy it every year.
Nice. Pam, what about you? Hey.
Well, I grew up in the mountains of North Carolina in Asheville, and my grandparents had lived on the farm. It's a six-generation farm. So it was very traditional growing up. Collard greens, cornbread, those were the things I remember. I don't remember Hoppin' John, or of course black-eyed peas were very much on deck. Here now in our county, I'm afraid I'm not quite as traditional, though I enjoy collard greens and look forward to learning even more Southern traditions.
Now, what's the deal with the Hoppin' John? This is new to me.
Hoppin' John is one of the traditional foods that Southerners often have. Hoppin' John is a mixture of black-eyed peas and rice. Hoppin' John.
Got
it. Is it white rice, brown rice, or just rice in general?
Well, generally just rice in general, but people may change that to whatever they have available. You know, growing up during this time in the South, people had to rely on their farming roots and what they were growing in their garden. So, you know, I think it's kind of what you had too.
So Peyton, what are your New Year's traditions?
So mine are similar to Pam. I also grew up with collard greens and black-eyed peas. I grew up in Texas. So every year it was like a stressful moment for my mom because she would be like, oh my gosh, we have to get the black-eyed peas. We have to get the collard greens. Right. We have to do it early before they're all out at the store or else we won't have a good new year. That was the biggest thing.
You know, I was sitting back thinking, I'm like, we don't really have a tradition. My grandmother from Texas, her and my aunt would always make this meal, cornbread, black-eyed peas, collard greens. But my mom wasn't a big participant in it. And so we didn't grow up with that in my home. But I think this year I might kick it off with my family and my kids and see what good luck, so to say, that the year brings us. So I know there are some things that you've prepared today, Pam. Do you want to talk to us about maybe the traditional meal and what elements of that you've prepared for us today?
Well, I've prepared two very traditional things. One, collard greens. Being in foods and nutrition, I've approached it from a healthy manner. Mm-hmm. So I don't have fat back in the collard greens. And this is from Brenda Sutton, who worked with Cooperative Extension for many years as the produce lady. And this is a healthier version. I'm kind of lazy. I bought a bag of well-washed collard greens, and it was exactly a pound. So I used those collard greens. I tried to maybe break off some of those heavier stems, but it didn't always accomplish that. And it was very easy. I used low-sodium chicken broth and put that in the skillet and added some garlic and herb seasoning blend. And the neat thing about the garlic and herb seasoning blend, it is salt-free. Uh-huh. So this is a healthy collard greens. And my husband tried it when I was at home, and he said, this is pretty good. You can fix it for me again. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I'm taking this to an occasion at work. But there's lots of ways to prepare collard greens, but I really want to promote eating it as healthy as we can.
Yeah. So, Tracy, you had your hands in the kitchen, too. What did you cook up?
So, I added to the tradition doing black-eyed peas. I traditionally grow our own. And we grow pink-eyed purple hull peas, which I didn't know were a thing, but there's different colors to the eyes of peas. And the one that is grown here locally in Cabarrus County is pink-eyed peas, and they call them purple-hulled pink-eyed peas. So pink-eyed purple hulls are a thing and a mouthful to try to say. But pink-eyed purple hull peas are our traditional ones that we would make. But I wanted to, I didn't have any because we've eaten all of ours out of the garden this year. So I stopped at the store to see what was local and what I could get. And you can still buy dried pink-eyed peas or black-eyed peas or lots of different peas and beans at a lot of our different farmers markets around. Barbie Farms carries them in stock, and you can stop in there. But I went over to Food Lion because not everybody has, you know, the option to go to a farmer's market or those kind of things. But I wanted to see what kind of local foods they had at Food Lion right across the street from our office. So I found a variety that if I look on the back, it's manufactured or distributed out of South Carolina. So mm-hmm. It was relatively local. That is seasoned black-eyed peas. And so I always try to look at the ingredients and figure out what's in there. This one, I'm sad to report, has monosodium glutamate in it. But does the first ingredient, obviously, is black-eyed peas. Has water, dehydrated onions, sugar, spices, and some rendered bacon fat. So it does have the pork aspect in it. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was really cool that I could find something local at the grocery store and could go and do that. So these are already seasoned, out of the can. They're easy, you know, that kind of thing. Much healthier if you make them on your own and use the salt-free options for it. I also made some country sausage. So we have a lot of pork producers here in Cabarrus County, and you can buy lots of different sausage from lots of different places. So you can go to most of our local farms, have farm markets where you can go on site to the farm stores, or out at the farmer's market, you can get that as well. At all of our farmer's market stops have a meat vendor there. You can go. Today I picked this up at the store, who's a local Landis farmer who actually processes everything here locally. So it was kind of cool that you can just go to the grocery store and pick up a local farm. This Frank Courier, many of us know Nieces, which is another North Carolina sausage producer as well. So we have a lot of different options when it comes to adding pork to your New Year's Day option. And the best part about pork sausage is that it freezes beautifully. So you can buy it when it's on sale and put it in the freezer and then just pull it out and use it for, you know, all kinds of different things, whether you're putting it into a ingredients for a recipe or just cooking it and frying it up on its own. So we're really excited to share both of our local finds that we found.
Well, I love that you brought up pork, and Pam, maybe you can give some insight on this. We were having a debate in the office on whether pork was included in this traditional meal. And from my understanding, some people include it and some people don't.
Well, you know, pork can be healthy. The tradition of including pork in a New Year's diet goes back to the pigs, and the pigs walk forward, and they have, don't they have longer noses? So that's why they're considered lucky. They're looking ahead to the new year. Also, the greens we've been talking about, anything that is green, as you look at folk traditions, kind of symbolizes money. Mm-hmm. And that's why so many of the recipes focus on green vegetables, like collard greens, for example.
And then the black-eyed peas, from my understanding, is supposed to bring good luck.
Also good luck.
Yeah.
There are several things that bring good luck. If we want to talk about some of them, we can look across the country, across the world. In some countries, even in Spain, the traditions are eating 12 grapes at New Year's.
Because we did that one last year.
I saw that online. I didn't know that grapes was a part of that.
Well, that grape, they're green, and eating 12 represents the 12 months. I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, their special noodles in Japan. A lot of us here eat king cake, which is a cake that's round. And the king cake being round symbolizes kind of hope and good luck. Mm-hmm. So many of our cakes, well, really almost all of our cakes are round, but that symbolizes the good luck too.
I'm definitely interested in the king cake. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds so cool.
Is that the one with the baby in it?
It could be.
That's right. That's the one with the baby in it.
Does it have fruit in it too? I thought it would have. I thought I remember one that had like gummy fruit sort of inside.
That's kind of like a fruit cake or something like that. Well, most of the king cakes I've read about are always served round because the round, it kind of represents good luck and around the world. Of course, every country has some different traditions, no doubt.
Peyton, can you talk about how to cultivate some of these ingredients? So if people want to grow them themselves, they know how to do it?
So I am familiar with the black-eyed peas the best. Mm-hmm. They can grow in poor soil, and they count for two great purposes. They can fix nitrogen in that soil to make it rich for later on, and that they will grow in this poor soil and still produce great results is fantastic. You know, they talk about it being a cover crop, and you can hear about it being able to withstand great heat. So it can withstand drought and the sun perfectly, which is something that makes it so great and wonderful. Around here in the central North Carolina area, transplant time is around April, and you can also seed around April, which is nice. And one thing I love about NC State Extension is that we have a grow calendar that has all this information for any sorts of plants, not just black-eyed peas, but for collard greens, the same thing. There's a grow calendar, and it will tell you, okay, this does better at this time. For like collard greens, for example, you can transplant collard greens in February into your garden. And so I love looking at their little calendar and knowing, okay, I can transplant this here. I can transplant my collard greens in February. I can do my black beans. I can start them by seed in April, and it will go good. And I can trust that.
Y'all, this conversation is getting me hungry. Should we eat? Should we go try the food?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Let's do it.
I
don't have glasses to cheers to.
Glasses.
Okay. Cheers to a happy new year.
Okay, y'all, the food looks amazing and it tastes good too. What are y'all's favorites so far on your plate?
Ooh, I have to mix it all together. There's no favorite. Yeah. I like eating like a cheeseburger, put everything together and it's all mixed up.
I like it. What's your favorite, Peyton?
I like the collard greens. Collard greens are really good.
Mm-hmm. And they're healthy, which makes it even better.
Yes.
Pam, what's your favorite?
I have to say the collard greens.
Yeah. Now I'm tasting the cornbread. And the cornbread tastes different. And me and Tracy were just talking about how people make cornbread differently.
Right.
I usually put honey and butter, which is not the healthiest thing, but it tastes like cake. Mm-hmm. How do you make your cornbread?
Well, this is a very traditional cornbread recipe with just cornmeal and milk, which I have soured, so to speak, with vinegar to make buttermilk. I didn't have any buttermilk. Eggs, and that's basically pretty much it. Cornmeal, eggs for leavening. And another interesting thing about making cornbread or cornbread now, is it's very hard to find unleavened cornmeal. Okay. All the cornmeal I found was already leavened. So if you're making it at home, that means you just don't add the baking powder or the baking soda. And that's kind of a new trend, I think.
Yeah.
They do that
makes
so it doesn't
it easier.
Stick. So it doesn't stick together, right? Yeah, absolutely.
So we've got our black-eyed peas, we've got collard greens, we've got our pork, and we've got our cornbread. But one thing I've recently learned is that there's a soup that people often pair with this meal as well. Can we talk about that soup?
Oh, yes. It's wonderful. It's called pot liquor soup. And I hadn't really become familiar with this until moving to the county many years ago. And there's a local restaurant that serves a pot liquor dip. Pot liquor is made from the juice or the cooking liquid of greens. The restaurant version, I think, has some cream cheese or sour cream in it because it is absolutely delicious for dipping with a crusty bread. Pot liquor soup.
Have you ever incorporated that in your New Year's meal?
Have not.
Well, we may have to try it this year because it seems to be like something we might be missing out on.
You're missing out if you haven't had some pot liquor dip.
Now, one of the things I love about this meal is that we can find it, we can source it locally. Can we talk about the importance while we're enjoying this meal of supporting local agriculture?
Sure. So absolutely. With North Carolina Extension, that's what we do, right? North Carolina Cooperative Extension is the local branch of NCA&T University and North Carolina State University. And so we are here to support local ag and to connect people to that through food and nutrition. We do youth development programs through our 4-H program and everything agriculture. And for us in Cabarrus County, agriculture looks a little bit different because not too many of us run across the traditional stereotypical guy on a tractor in the middle of a field.
Right.
But we do have lots of agriculture here in Cabarrus County. And most of us are very connected to agriculture because we raise or grow something, right? In our backyard or in our front yard or even on a kitchen windowsill somewhere, something. And we all eat. So it's nice to be able to connect with local agriculture. You know, you think about the environmental impacts of bringing in food from other places, that, you know, food that was picked somewhere else in another country and has to be shipped here and all of those kind of things. Pam talked about, you know, the collard greens, the fresher they are, the better they are. So the freshest option is to find it as close as possible to your house. And the best way to do that is to find somebody who's either growing, you are either growing it or someone who's locally growing it. The great part, like Peyton mentioned, is that black-eyed peas and collard greens grow here very well. The weird part is that black-eyed peas actually grow during the summer. So they're a typical summer vegetable, and you harvest them in August through, you know, August, September. If you let them dry on the stalk, you can pick them later and they'll dry and then you have to reconstitute them, which works that way too. So either way works. But collard greens are cold weather vegetable, and so they are live and in action right now. And you can go out and find them at a lot of farmers markets, but also a lot of people are just growing in their backyard and finding that. We work with an app called Visit NC Farms app, and that Visit NC Farms app highlights local growers. So you can go onto that app, find exactly who is growing what, so you can search it by collard green. So that's what I did a little bit ago.
Love that.
And I'm like, you can, there's five producers here in the county that are on the app that you can go there and the app will click it and you can take the map right to it and they'll tell you what hours are open and give them their contact information, their website and all the things. Some of our markets are still doing what they call community shared agriculture or community supported agriculture, a CSA, which is a box that comes with all kinds of different things in there. So it's a great way to kind of challenge yourself to try new things, especially things that are seasonally grown and what would be in there. You can actually get cornmeal. Locally made cornmeal out at Bost Gristmill. If you've never been out there, it's a really cool place to go visit. They have lots of different open houses, but you can also call out there and they'll open the store just for you to come out and get.
Oh, nice.
They do freshly grist corn as well as wheat flour. So you can get both those things. But the little store has lots of other fun things that are in there too. So check them out for their holiday hours. But you can, I have a thing of that in my pantry and that's what I use to make our cornbread. But I do add the sweetness into mine as well.
Oh, the honey and the butter. It just makes it for me. And the kids love it. Yes. It's not the best for us, but it is a nice, sweet treat in addition to all of this.
You got to balance it out with the collard greens and the other things that you have in there. Absolutely.
That's right. One of the things that everyone does, it's a tradition outside of eating this fantastic meal, is to make a New Year's resolution. And so I'd love to hear what the New Year's resolution is or what goals you guys have set for yourselves for 2024 as a department. Tracy, you want to kick us off?
No, I'm a fan of making goals. And they always say, you know, the more you write them down and get them out there and get them out to the world, and the more likely you are to follow through with it. So we as a staff just sat down and did our team development day, and that was our thing. A challenge every year, we challenge to come up with one word that is our focus for that. There's some great books out there. If you haven't read One Word, it's a great book. But the challenge is to pick a word that is your motivating word, your definitive word for the year. And so we have lived through some renovations here at our office. Some different things here. So my one word for next year is organization. Mm. Because we do want to be, focus on that and how we can work towards that. So our staff all picked one word. Do you guys want to share what your word was?
I picked adventurous because I did think that I need to be more organized coming into the next year, but I couldn't choose that as my word because that would put me down rather than raise me up. So I chose adventurous because I want to go on an adventure to meet new farmers, new growers, new people, help them start out their raised bed gardens, whatever they need from me. And it can be a journey together. That is my one word. And that is what I'm looking forward for all of my programs next year.
Oh, Peyton, I love that. That's fantastic.
She makes me want to change my word.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, should I start a garden? All right, Pam.
Well, one of my words, I think, was successful. And that's always a goal here at Extension, that you want your educational endeavors to be successful. And I'm also looking forward to being back in this renovated kitchen. Yeah. We've got a hands-on cooking class starting in the first of January. We'll be meeting in the evening. And I'm really anxious to get this kitchen successfully set back up for the Cook Smart, Eat Smart class that we'll be offering.
I love it.
Yeah, we're really excited about what 2024 is going to hold for all of us. We have a lot of new and exciting things that are coming forth. And Peyton's got a new Extension Master Gardener volunteer class starting.
Yeah, I'm all excited. 24 new ones.
24 new students in that. So we're growing and learning. And, I would say we have been the best kept secret for way too long.
Yes,
and so that will be my mission for as long as it takes.
Yeah.
To focus on getting us out there, talking to everybody. We love to talk about local foods. We like to talk about local growers. We like to talk about anything and all things food, nutrition, youth programs. We have great 4-H programs to get our kids out there and involved in things. And we love to eat. So if we ever have an excuse to cook new things and make new recipes and try new things, we are those people. So we love to bring new people on board and meet new people. And we're just super excited about 2024 and all it's going to hold.
Now, Tracy, I love to eat too, but who's doing the dishes?
That's always a question.
Is it you, Pam?
it's a team effort.
It's a team effort.
tea.